When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthews the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose name was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valiant than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And that's reading the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. You know, as I said tonight, it's such a wonderful privilege to be able to serve God. You know, concerning John, it was said, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Because he was so outstanding in the presence of God or in the sight of God, the Lord spoke very highly of him. And God tonight wants to speak very highly of you. He wants to do something special and outstanding in your life. If God does something special and outstanding in my life, that's in my life. But God wants to do something special and outstanding in your life because God hath an intimate relation with you. He is desiring that you be one with him. And God is desiring to do something special for you. Every individual is a special person to God. But every individual that feels that they are a special person is very unspecial to God. Did you know that? It's when we feel humble and we feel down at the feet of Jesus and we feel like we're just nobody and that we're nothing, but we love Jesus and that we're going to serve him with all of our heart, then are we great and mighty in the sight of God and very special. But when we feel like we're very special and we have a very special ministry and we're supposed to do a very special thing, we are nothing in the sight of God. So then, the way to work for God is to realize that you need God to work for you. And the way to do something for God is to realize that you're nothing and take the same attitude that the Son of God took when he said, without my Father, I can do nothing. All that I do because I see my Father do it. Without him, I can do nothing. Like the song says, without him, I can do nothing. Without him, how lost I would be. So then when we think we're special, then we're altogether nothing in the sight of God. But when we think we're nothing, then the Bible teaches that we're something in the sight of God. For a meek, humble spirit is of great value in the sight of God. What we need to do is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that God might raise us up in due season. We should not be afraid of the things of the world, nor the people of the world, nor of Satan, because we're told that he cannot bother us. Fear not him that's able to kill the body, and then after that he can do no more, but rather fear him that after that he has killed the body can destroy both body and soul in hell. That is, fear God. So then don't be afraid of mankind. Don't be afraid of weapons, for the Bible said there is no weapon formed against thee that shall prosper. Don't be afraid of the powers of the government and the powers of the alien armies, because there is no weapon that they can form that will prosper against a Christian. Now Russia may come up with a great weapon and may threaten America, and America may come up with a great weapon and they may threaten the rest of the world. But that is people threatening people. But not one of those weapons, whether in America or Russia or any other part of the world, not one of those weapons that's been formed will prosper against you and I or the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will see the end of a great victorious race, and we will be the great victorians at the end of it. No weapon will prosper against us. Our ways please God, he maketh our enemies to be at peace with us. And I want my ways to please God, don't you? The Bible said concerning you and I, he says here in the book of Revelation, if we overcome, I will, he says here, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You notice, he said, he that overcometh, I will give unto him power over all the nations. I will give him power over the nations. The word here, nations. I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Who is he speaking of? Said, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. That's who he's speaking to. I want to overcome and keep his works until the end, don't you? Or unto the end. I want to keep his works right down unto the end. The Bible speaks of the man that God finds feeding the sheep at his coming. He said, blessed is that man that I so find doing, I will make him ruler over all that I have. And he says here that I will make him the ruler over the nations. Over the nations, the ruler over America, the ruler over Russia, the ruler over Israel, the ruler over Germany and all the other nations of the world. I will make him ruler over the nations. Wouldn't you like to be ruler over the nations? People that are presidents and kings and queens and great dukes and princes throughout the world, they have great power, great authority in the earth. Their word means something when they speak. But just think, you and I are going to be ruler over the nations. I'm not planning to be ruler just over a nation. It said that we will be ruler over the nations. We are going to be God's last word, as we say, to the nations. Whatever we say will be just exactly the way it will be. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that God would ever give that kind of power to mankind. But it is a true fact that when Moses spoke, the earth opened up, isn't that right, and swallowed up the people. It is a true fact that when Joshua spoke, that the sun stood still. So then it sounds to me like God will trust us with great power. Trusting us with power to rule the nations. Trusting the sons of God. Why shouldn't he trust me if he's going to indoctrinate me all my life and tell me his very heart's desire, and I'm going to spend my entire life trying to do his very thought, his very desire? Why shouldn't he trust me? Because my every desire, my every will, my every motive, my every ambition is to please him. Why shouldn't he trust me with all that he has? Hallelujah. Not like Adam. He trusted Adam with all that he had, and Adam lost it to Satan. But he trusted the second man, Adam, with all that he had, and he gave it to me and gave it to you and made us part of it. Hallelujah. And so tonight, we will have power over the nations because God can trust us. Can God trust you tonight? You know, a lot of people you can't trust. You can tell them something confidentially and say, now the Bible said a wise man concealeth the matter. I'm telling you this confidentially because I'm trying to help somebody. And I don't want to hurt anyone, but off they'll go. If they get something new, they just burn like a fire till they can spread it everywhere. And you can't trust them. You can't trust them. Have you ever talked to anybody like that? You can't trust them. No matter what you tell them, they've just got to throw it everywhere. But God wants somebody that he can trust. He wants somebody that he can speak to. And the Bible said, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. If I can get close to God, get in the Word of God, God will share his secrets with me. He shared some secrets with Paul. And Paul said, it's not lawful for me to tell you about it. One day we'll know about it, you know. One day you'll know, Paul, let us understand. But it's not lawful for me to do it. God shared some secrets with me. And it's not lawful for me to tell you yet. He's got me in confidence. All right. So then it's so wonderful to be a Christian, not to be afraid of people that can cause us harm. And it's so wonderful to know that we are the apple of God's eye. I am persuaded to believe that the people of this day and this hour as a whole, the church people, don't understand God and don't understand God's plan and they don't understand God's way. And because of that, Satan is just making havoc of the church. Is that right? He's just making havoc of the church. And the Bible tells us that my people are perishing at the hand of the devil because they do not understand, because they don't have the understanding that they need from God, because they've never applied themselves. You know, one of the great problems we've got is everybody would like to be somebody, you know, and would like to do something the way that they would like to do it, but they don't want to do anything to qualify for the position. Is that right? What we need is some good old-fashioned Christian qualification. That's what we need. Everybody would like to do something the way that they would like to do it, but as I said, they don't want to qualify. You know, a man would like to go preach, but he doesn't want to fast. Now, he doesn't mind preaching and being before the people, but he doesn't want to fast. He would like to go preach, but he doesn't like to hitchhike. He doesn't like to get there, as Paul did, as a stowaway. He don't like that. He'd rather have a nice automobile, a new car to travel in. Is that right? He'd like to hold the position of an office somewhere, but he doesn't want to be bothered with the things that is necessitated by the office. He'd rather be out somewhere playing golf or going swimming or fishing or relaxing or doing something. Isn't that right? My brothers and sisters, if we ever do anything that will prosper, anything that will profit God, anything that will profit our soul, we are going to have to get into business with God and get some qualification. Did you know that? A lot of people say, I've been around here for a number of years, Brother Pike, and still I can't do what I want to do. There's a good possibility you may be here another 10 years and still not do what you want to do, because you've never given any time to God as to qualify. You want to go here, and you want to go there, and you want to evangelize, and you want to be this in the sight of God. You want to be something great in the sight of God, but you don't want to qualify. The Bible said that John was great in the sight of God. This is my messenger, he said. God said, this is my messenger. I send him before my face. But look at the years of qualification that John had. Look at the years from the time he was a boy, driven away into the wilderness to do nothing but fast and pray and talk to God, just to stay there with God. Look at the way God qualified him. And then one day he walked out. The Bible said when he walked out to preach the gospel, the whole city came out. My, what about that? No advertisement, no TV, nobody to forerun and say, John's coming. He just walked out and maybe got up on a stump somewhere and began to talk, or got up on a little old rock somewhere there and began to preach to them. But the whole city came out. Even the dignitaries came out. Why? Because he was qualified. He had been with God. It's like the apostles in the days of Peter, James, and John. The thing that stirred the people was, it said that they took notice that they had been with Christ. Hallelujah. That's what makes a difference. Being qualified, coming into a qualification, coming into something for God. You know, we could really do something for God if we just qualify on the side of God. Is that right? Not be a gossiper, a backbiter, or somebody that's always causing strife, causing division, somebody that never wants to labor, somebody that never wants to help or do anything, but really getting down to business with God and getting a vision for God and wanting to qualify as something for Christ Jesus. In this hour that we're living in, it's the greatest hour that mankind has ever known. The greatest privilege that's ever been given to humanity is here today. I made the statement today, talking to Brother Bill. I made a statement concerning the Holy Scriptures. The Bible speaks in one place, and I know that you've probably said this a lot of time. It says, when the devil starts giving you trouble, it said, just say, get behind me, Satan. You ever said that? It says, get behind me. Jesus would say, get behind me, Satan. And I made the statement today. I said, Bill, that carries a lot of weight. There's a lot of meaning to that. But you know, to the average individual, that doesn't mean anything. But to God, that means something. He just doesn't make statements, you know, like that, unless they've got some great meaning and significance behind them. A little old thing like that, say, get thee behind me, Satan. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, if I tell him to get behind me, he doesn't pay any attention to me. That's true. He doesn't pay any attention to some folks. Isn't that right? But if you say, get behind me, and you're qualified to say, get behind me, and you know why that you're saying, get behind me,
If you understand what it means when you say, get behind me. You understand what I'm saying? If you can understand what God is saying. When you say, get behind me, Satan. What do you mean when you say, get behind me, Satan? Can I just go up and when the devil's causing me problem, I just say, get behind me, Satan, and that'll settle it? No, it won't settle it. Because he might not listen at me unless I'm qualified. It's like the two men went over there that was going to cast out the devil. And they said, we adjure you in the name of this Jesus that Paul is preaching. They said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but we don't know nothing about you. We've never read about your qualifications. We don't know nothing about you whatsoever. And the Bible said the man in whom the Spirit was overcame the man that came to rebuke him. And they just tear him. So then a lot of times, that's what we run into. We go out there and we're going to preach the gospel and we come back drinking booze. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I say, we go out there and we're going to cast out devils and preach the gospel. And we come back and we've done took the devil up and brought him back with us. And we give everybody else a problem in the camp. Is that right? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Talking about Jesus now. Hallelujah. So then what we need to do is get a little qualification and lose some of the zeal we've got. One of the problems with the Jews in Paul's day was they had a lot of zeal, but they didn't have much qualification when it came to the knowledge of God. And it upset God with them. They went about establishing their own righteousness, but they didn't know anything about God's righteousness. And finally, God just got grieved with them and sent Paul to the Gentiles. Isn't that right? I've got some here. In this very congregation right here, one day they want to be religious, the next day they want to see something on TV that isn't fit to look at. Is that right? One day they want to be religious, the next day they want to fuss and fight. The next day they want to feud, the next day they want to gossip, backbite. See, they don't have any qualifications. You ever do a little something to them, they fuzz up like a sore foot kitten. Is that right? Might not sound good the other way. Is that right? All right. So they bristle up on you. Now, can't you just see Jesus in that? When they get all bristled up like an old-time cat, you know, because you mistreated them a little bit, or at least they judged you to have mistreated them a little bit. Can you see Jesus in that? When that wife sticks out her lips, you know, at her husband, and she don't like it because he's crossed the grain a little bit. Can't you just see Jesus in that? Does that remind you of Jesus? Does it? When one sister's pouting and puffing with another sister, and one brother's puffing and pouting with another brother, Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as spiritual people, but seeing that you're babes in Christ with envy and strife and malice, and I can't do it. Said the meat is for the strong, they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Isn't that right? So then, what is God trying to do? He's trying to qualify us. He wants to qualify us. A lot of time, he lets something happen to us. He lets somebody rub us wrong. He lets somebody cross our grain a little bit to see if we have any Christian qualifications. They beat Paul. They stone Paul. They plucked Jesus' beard. They beat him with a whip. But he had Christian qualifications. Isn't that right? He was qualified. When he went to the whipping post, you don't find where he got upset at him at all, do you? When he went to Calvary, you don't find where he got upset at him at all. His attitude was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, isn't that qualifications? And the Bible tells us to follow in his steps. That we're to follow in his steps. But let one of these brothers around here mistreat another brother, and instead of that brother showing love and trying to win him over and showing where his error is by demonstrating the love of God, he just comes right back at him, and he reviles him. Whereas the Bible said when you're reviled, you're not to revile again. The Bible said when Jesus was reviled, he didn't revile back at folks. When somebody reviles you, you're not supposed to get temperamental and come flashing back at him. Is that right? So then what we need is old-fashioned holiness and Christian convictions for qualification. That's what we need. And brothers and sisters, when we come into that kind of understanding, that kind of conviction, that kind of desire, that kind of want to, then God will do something for us. Is that right? Now, look at the qualifications. When the devil gets in front of you, should you say, "Get behind me"? Sure. The Bible said if he gets in front of you, tell him to get behind you. When the angel of death or Satan came trying to get Moses' body, what did the angel of God say to him? "The Lord rebuke thee," he said. And away he went. Why is it that we can't say, "The Lord rebuke thee," and have Satan to leave? Why is it that we cannot say, "Get behind me, Satan," and have him to completely leave off with everything and get behind us? Why is that? Because of the lack of qualification. Isn't that right? I know the way you judge, but I'm talking about the way God judges. See, your judgment isn't right. Your judgment isn't scriptural. But God's judgment is scriptural. The Bible tells us that God's ways or thoughts, that is, they are higher above our thoughts in the heavens is the earth. God's thoughts is way up, high above our thoughts. With all of our intellectual abilities and as polished scholars, we don't even touch the wisdom of God. That's why it has to be by the revelation of Jesus Christ that we receive the wisdom of God. It has to come down through a revelation, through something from God. It has to be revealed to us because we cannot get a hold of it any other way. Therefore, we must humble ourselves under the hand of God, call upon the name of Jesus and ask Jesus to help us, and ask God to reveal to us the understanding of God that qualifies us to be a Christian. Now let's look at it for a minute. If I say, "Satan, get behind me," will Satan get behind me? If I'm qualified, he will. If I'm qualified, he will. Why will he get behind me? The reason he has to get behind me is not because I'm some great person, not because I've been such a great overcomer, but because I am qualified in the sight of God to receive the blessings of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And how did I become qualified? By believing. And how can I believe? By doing the things that please God. But the Bible said when we do those things that please God, then that gives us this confidence that we need in our heart here. And by this confidence, we believe in God. How is it that Satan is going to get behind me just because I believe that he will get behind me? The reason is that every since Calvary, every since the spilling of the blood, every since that hour, Satan has no power over the church. Before Calvary, the shadow was in front of us. You understand what I'm saying? Reckoning time from evening until morning, that shadow of death lay before us. The shadow of the cross lay before us. That was death, always threatening man. That was before it, all the way from the garden, all the way down to Calvary. There the shadow was, threatening, all the time threatening, condemnation. But see, when we get to Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ is spilt, all sickness is behind us. All defeat is behind us. All poverty is behind us. All evil is behind us. All condemnation is behind us. Everything gone. Because at Calvary, Jesus finished it. At Calvary, Jesus washed all my spots away, all my blemishes away, took away all of my sins. And today, Christ is with me. And I can say, "Get behind me, Satan," because he belongs on the other side of the cross. He belongs on the other side of Calvary. The shadow never did get past Calvary. Did you know that? On this side of Calvary, we are glorified. We are predestinated. We are justified. The Bible said God is sanctified once and for all. Them that are justified, that is, we are justified by the blood. And once and for all, God has sanctified us by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. I am free then from every spot, every wrinkle, and I don't have to worry tonight. I am free. Therefore, when the shadow gets in front of me, or I see Satan in front of me, I say, "Get thee behind me, Satan, you're out of place." By Calvary, you belong behind me. All of my sins are behind me. Forgetting those things that are behind. Hallelujah. Forgetting all of those things. I've come over Calvary. I've come beyond that. This is the celestial world. This is the celestial day. The kingdom of God is at hand. Men are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. And they're being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is at hand. Ever since Calvary, the Bible teaches the kingdom of God has been preached and men are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. Ever since that day, men have been going about, like myself, telling people about the marvelous things that Jesus has done and telling them how that the kingdom of God has come down in the presence of men and the tabernacle of God is present here in this world. You know, the Bible tells us that there are many sickly among us and many sleep. One of the reasons that they sleep or they're dead and out in the grave tonight. One of the reasons, the Bible says, it is because they have failed to discern the body of Jesus Christ. I'm the body of Christ tonight. You're the body of Christ tonight. If they could discern that the body of Jesus Christ is in the world today, that it actually is the body of the Lord. If they could discern that tonight, then they could be healed. They wouldn't say things against us. They wouldn't work against us. They wouldn't cause us problems in the government. They wouldn't cause us problems in the law. They wouldn't cause the people of God a lot of problems by imposing things upon them as they do this day. Great men are in their grave tonight because they could not discern the body of Jesus Christ. Senators, governors, sheriffs, great rulers, presidents, kings. Many of them are in their grave tonight. They lived a short life because somewhere they spoke out against the church or somewhere they come against the body of Christ. They failed to discern or understand that that is the body of the living God in the earth. Look how God completely tore a kingdom down because that man failed to see the body of Christ in that day because that man failed to understand that those vessels were dedicated to God. And he just touched them, messed around with them a little bit, began to drink out of them, brought them down to his common walk of life, and it displeased God so much until God tore the entire kingdom down. A lot of times this is the problems in homes. Homes are split up. Mothers are going one way, dads are going another way, children are going another way. All torn to pieces. Can't get together. Why is that? Because they've run their tongues too much. They've used their tongues for gossip. They've used their tongues to backbite. They've used their tongues to tear down and to say things against the body of Christ. They've whetted their tongues against the body of Christ. They were doing real good. They had a good home. Mother and daddy was together. The children were with them. But they just couldn't keep things out of their mouth against the church and the body of Christ. They just couldn't stop saying something about the preacher or saying something about a Christian. Or finding something to say against that person that was struggling to do something for God. And tonight their home is split, gone. Their children are gone. Wandering around from place to place. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the truth. Trouble tonight between son and daddy. Mother. Trouble between the daughter and mother. Jesus said, think not that I've come to bring peace, but rather a sword. To set at variance one against another. A mother against the daughter and the father against the son. And the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law. Somebody would say, but I thought he was the Prince of Peace. You don't mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that Christ's mission in this world was to cause confusion. Christ's mission in this world was to bring confusion. He never caused it. It's like Ahab when he was looking for Elijah. When he found Elijah, he said, are you the man that's troubled Israel? Elijah said, I'm not the man that troubled Israel. I'm God's prophet. He said, but you're the wicked one that troubled Israel. Is that right? Jesus never troubled humanity. Neither did he come into this world to bring confusion to anyone. But his coming brought confusion. Because when he came into this world, he said, one's in the bed taken into the kingdom of God, the other's left. There's two grinding at the mill. One's translated to the kingdom of God. The other's left. One is called into the world of light. One is left into the world of darkness. He said when this begins to happen, mothers and daddies are going to be crossed up. Sons and daughters are going to be crossed up. People are going to be crossed up. And your own people are going to be your enemies. He said when I begin to bring salvation into the hearts of mankind, a mother's going to love the frolics of the world while a daughter loves Jesus and they're going to cross up. A dad is going to want to serve God while Junior wants to go frolicking and they're going to cross up. You listening to me? He said there's going to be trouble heartaches and sorrows, and they're going to cross up with each other, one against another. I've come into this world not to bring peace, but rather to bring a sword, to set at variance one against another. Because he that loveth brother more than me, he can't be my disciple. I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to see if you love mother and daddy more than you love me. I'm going to let a division come in your home and see if you'll stand for the word of God instead of that wretched son of yours or that wretched daughter of yours or the wretched relatives of yours. I'm going to see if you'll stand for me in spite of all of them. I'm going to see where your heart is, and I'm going to try you, and I'm going to find out if you love mother and daddy more than me. I'm going to let the devil come in. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We need to love Jesus better than we love anybody. Hallelujah. I love Jesus tonight. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. I love my mother. I loved my dad. I love my wife. I love my children. But I love Jesus better than I love all of them. I'm going to go Jesus' way by his help and grace. I'm going to continue to go God's way. Whether my wife goes, whether my children go, whether my friends go, whether anybody goes, I'm going to continue to go Jesus' way. Hallelujah. So then Jesus said, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to find out whether you've got Christian qualifications or not. I'm going to find out if you're doing the right thing. I'm going to find out. The Bible said, humble yourself and make sure you're friend. Here he comes down in a manger, coming down in a stable. A great king, somebody that could have come as a polished scholar, made everybody bow down to him. But here he comes on a little old donkey, riding into the city. Jesus, the great, mighty Prince of heaven and of earth. Here he comes riding in. Why did he do that? When he could come as a great millionaire. He come because he wanted to see who would stand by him when he was hungry. He wanted to see who would stand by him when he needed a helping hand. He wanted to see who would come over to him while he was in poverty. He wanted to see who would walk with him as a poor man when he was despised and rejected. And them that walked with him and them that loved him, Jesus reached out and took their hand. Jesus said, these are mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, these are mine. And I will remember them, saith the Lord, when I come to make up my jewels. I will remember them and I will spare them. As a man spareth his son, I will spare them. Get thee behind me, Satan. How can I say that? When he comes pounding my mind with evil thoughts of filth and ugliness, do I have to listen to it? No. When he comes before me and he tempts me with the cares and desires of life, do I have to yield to it? No. When it confronts me with problems and fears and bewilderment, do I have to humble down to it and submit to it? No. What can I do? I can say, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Get thee behind me. I'm on the side of Calvary, hallelujah. I'm not back there. I'm not under the law. I'm not under condemnation. I'm free from the law of sin and death. Get thee behind me. Hallelujah. I don't have to listen to that. When he starts telling you how evil and wretched you are, no doubt you've been that way. No doubt you've been that way. Paul spoke of liars and cheats and fornicators, said such were some of ye, until God cleansed ye, until God made you clean and holy. I'd heap rather be a wretch back in my past and be able to look back there and say, God, I've been a wretch, forgive me of my sins, than to be somebody that never done any evil as far as I was concerned and been what the world calls a good moral person and miss heaven by thinking I'm all right and I'm not like the others, you know. Like the man that went up into the temple. He beat himself on the chest and he said, have mercy on me. I'm wretched. I'm a sinner. All I can hope for is the grace of God. And this other man said, well, just look at my background. Look at my background. I pay tithe of all that I possess. I fast. I do all the things that God requires, like the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I want to go to heaven. He said, what must I do? He said, keep the commandments. But he said, well, if that's all there is to it, I'm all right. Everything's fine. He said, I've done this from my youth. All my life, I've kept the commandments. Jesus said, you're lacking in something. He said, yet lackest thou one thing. Take all that you've got, go sell it, give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me and you'll have treasures in heaven. The Bible said that the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Isn't that right? That's the way it is. See, the rich young ruler lied to Jesus, as I've said numbers of times. He lied to Jesus. How do you know that he lied to Jesus, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy strength, all of thy mind. And to love thy neighbor as thyself. If he had kept that commandment, he would have shared and shared and shared. Isn't that right? Look at old brother Cornelius, a man that didn't know anything about salvation, but just knowing of God. The Bible said he prayed to God always. Prayed to God. Prayed to God. Prayed to God. Didn't even have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But yet prayed to God always. My, that should make us ashamed. We say that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said this man, Cornelius, that wasn't even filled with the Spirit of God, prayed to God always. Not only prayed, but the Bible said he fasted and that he gave alms of all that he possessed. All that he possessed, he gave alms of it. He shared, he gave on with all that he possessed, of all that he possessed. Think about that. And then so much, the Bible said, that it came up into heaven as a memorial before God. Think about that. As a great memorial before Christ, he prayed and fasted so much and gave so much, not even having the Holy Ghost, that it became a memorial in the presence of God and reached up into heaven. The angel of God came down to where he was and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, there's nothing sweeter than praying and praying and praying over in the night or over in the morning, and you can't get anywhere and you can't feel anything. And all of a sudden from heaven comes the sweet presence of God, and something says to you, your prayer is heard, and you just feel so good and so wonderful. He said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. You broke through. Hallelujah. He said, Daniel, you just kept on praying and you kept on fasting. And though the devils just came, just swarming around like bees, so to speak. But Daniel, because you held on to God, because you prayed, you are mighty in the sight of God, Daniel. Oh, thou beloved man of God. Oh, Jacob prayed. Wrestled. He said, my brother Esau's coming. As sure death, I know he'll kill me because I stole the birthright. And he prayed and he prayed until the angel came down. And he grabbed that angel. That angel said, turn me loose. He said, I ain't going to turn you loose. He said, turn me loose, Jacob. I got to go. The daylight's coming. I ain't going to turn you loose. And he helped on. He said, man, tell me what you want. He told him what he wanted. He didn't want Esau to kill him. It's a matter of life and death. I can't turn loose. So then he said, all right, I grant it. He said, you're a prince. You prevail with God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you think you had him by the leg, or how did you have him? I don't know about that. The Bible said angels are spirits. I believe that when we pray and wrestle with God, that the angels of God come down. The Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And tonight I believe the angels are here. And I believe he just prayed and prayed and prayed till that angel couldn't get away. Whole Jacob just kept praying until God had said, that angel, you can't leave. You got to stay there. Whole Jacob just kept on praying. Tired, weary, worn, probably ready to fall on his face. But he said, oh God, help me escape death, Lord. Esau's coming. The angel said, boy, let's get it over with. Tell me what you want. But he didn't do that. He just held on. He just held on. God said, thou art a prince. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we need to do, children of God. That's what we need to do. But here's one thing that we need to absorb in our heart and in our minds. That we are already a prince. Not because we have prevailed, but because Jesus prevailed for us. That I am whatever he is in God. That he prevailed, and today what he is, I am by faith in what he done. Be strong in the power of my might. I have overcome the world. Rejoice. Well, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. I have overcome the world. Are you listening? All right. I'm going to close in just a few minutes, but I want you to listen. See, what is it? He prevailed by struggling in prayer. Today, I have prevailed with God. How did you do it? By the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. I prevailed. I'm a prince today. Hallelujah. You say, what kind of prince are you? The Bible said, I'm bone of the bone and flesh of the Prince of Peace. Of the Prince of Peace. I am a member of his body in particular. Are you? Blessed are they that make peace, for they shall be called the children of God. Is that right? Blessed are they that make peace. Are you working to make peace between two brothers, two sisters? Are you working to make peace between the children, the mother, between the children and the dad, between the pastor, between the flock? Are you working for peace? Or do you gossip and backbite and tailbear, and every time something crosses your grain or rubs you wrong, or every something goes contrary to the way you want it to go, do you run and tear the congregation down, the pastor down, run and tell somebody? Do you? Or do you try to make peace? All right. You say, what are you trying to tell us, Brother Pike? I'm saying this in closing tonight. I must, of necessity, have the right attitude toward God if I'm going to receive from him. I mentioned this the other night. As long as I am not completely surrendered to God, I am not going to have the right attitude toward God. As long as I am not completely surrendered to God, I know that I have problems in my outer man, in that I stumble and I stagger when I try to be perfect in the sight of God. Even our best. Yet David said, my heart is perfect before thee. I know that my ways don't please thee, because we're waiting for the redemption of the body. But I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit in my spirit, and my spirit is perfect in thy sight. He that is born of God keepeth himself, and that evil one toucheth him not. But my attitude toward God must be, though I stagger, though I stumble, as I wait for the redemption of the body, wait with the redemption. That is to come into the knowledge of it. Yet, because of this, Christ fills my infirmities. Christ has made a way for me. And in the inner man, Paul said, I delight after the things and laws of God. But in my members, this wretched outer man, the creature, I see another law warring in my members, warring against the laws of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said. When I would do good, evil is present with me. It's in my members. But the Bible said, even though it's in your members, he said, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Though it's corruptible flesh and you wait for the redemption of the body, yet don't let him reign and rule and have power and authority in your body. Don't let him have the power of preeminence Put him to silence. Cast down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Don't lean to your own understanding. Bring every thought into subjection to Christ. I can't find a way of escape, Paul said. I try hard, but there's something that seems to be interwoven. Oh, wretched man that I am. Wretched man that I am, when I live my best. And when I do my best, I'm still wretched. Because I hear the thoughts of condemnation and evil and accusation. All day long, it is a continual warfare between the body and the soul that never lets up. But then he pushed all of the mud away by just flipping the switch of faith. And looked toward the righteousness of the Son of God at Calvary. And lit up with the radiance of God and become clean and holy in his feelings. And said, I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak, not that the law was weak, but weak in that it was weak through the flesh. That is my weakness to perform it. God, knowing that, sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likefulness of my failing image, in the likefulness of sinful flesh, and condemned sin in the body by nailing his own Son to the tree, or by personifying himself in a human body, taking our sins to Calvary. And there he crucified, killed, done away with Brother Pike, Brother Taylor, all the great people that are Christians. He'd done away with that old wretched body of yours. Everyone that has accepted Christ, that body is dead because of sin. Baptized in the name of Jesus, hid beneath the water in his death. And there it is, carried away, taken away forever. And God, who looks upon you, never again sees that shadow. Never again. Never. We are standing face to face with God. And he never sees our perverted, failing, sinful image anymore. Never again. But it is gone by Calvary. It is taken away. And now I am resurrected from the dead to die no more. Forever in his presence to live. It is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. The life I live by the Son of God. I live by the life of Christ within me. That more, it is not I anymore. I am not in the flesh anymore. The flesh is crucified, buried, taken away. I am without spot, I am without wrinkle, I am without blemish, sanctified, perfected forever by his works. I am without sin because of him, because of my faith in the atonement. My sins are gone. My sins are gone. The evil one cannot touch me. Get thee behind me, Satan. For I am on this side of Calvary. I've escaped the law of sin and death. I am saved by faith in God. I am free from death. I am free from the grave. I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. You love Jesus? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't that make you feel good? You say, but Brother Pike, I just can't believe that. Well, you'll die in your sins. Brother, that's where salvation comes in, is to faith by the hearing of the word. And I told you the word, and the word came forth and healed. By faith, they receive their healing. Are you on this side of Calvary? Can you believe in Christ? They that are fallen from grace are under the law. Are you under the law? If under the law, then you must pay the penalty of death. But I am not under the law because I'm not fallen from grace. I am free from sin and death. Get thee behind me, Satan. No shadows in front of me. All I see is the day star that's dawning in my heart. Hallelujah, that shines more and more toward that millennium day, that 1,000 years reign with Christ, that perfect day. He that overcometh, I will give him the bright and the morning star. You love Jesus? Qualifications as a Christian. Have you got Christian qualifications? Only by faith. And how by faith? Is if I do the things that please him, then do I have that confidence. By receiving the knowledge and understanding of my benefits, then I strive to do my best. Then I believed. And when I stagger and stumble, I still believe because I am doing my best. And the weak link of the chain is held together by Him. So my chain is never weak. The old saying, the chain is just as strong as the weakest link. Not a weak link in my chain, because He made it. You love Jesus? Be strong in the power of my might. Let the weak say that I'm strong. If one be afflicted, let him pray. Like Brother Chuck, let him pray and talk to God. God will heal him. The prayer of faith will raise him up. How's somebody who say, well, just go right over and do it? You don't always do that. Oh, you say, oh, yes. Well, if that's true, then why was it that David was a prophet? A great and a mighty prophet. God's favorite king. But the Bible said that the son of Saul was afflicted and remained in his house until his death. The prophet never went over and healed him at any time. Why was that? Said he was faithful to David until almost the end. So God does what He wants to do. You judge wrong. Your thoughts are not His thoughts. You only think your thoughts are His thoughts. And you think you're smart. But you're not smart at all. God does things the way He wants to. You want to stand with me? There is healing for me. There's healing for you. There is healing for Chuck. There's healing for everyone. But it's God's way. How is God's way? It's by faith in God. It's by faith in God. All right, this bottle of oil, we're going to pray over it. The Bible said anointing them with oil, we don't have to pray over it. Oil don't have to be prayed over, He just said anointing them with oil. Somebody said, well, you pray over it and make it holy oil. Then somebody said you could peddle it, sell it. You know, they sell shoestrings and holy oil and all kind of things. But we don't peddle anything, and we don't have anything to sell. We live by faith, and we believe that God will stand with us. He has for many years. But we do believe in what the Bible tells us, and the Bible tells us that if there be any sick among you, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. I believe that. Whether you do or not, I believe that. So then we've got oil here. We've got oil. We're going to pray over the oil. I do believe that God can make it holy oil. Not holy oil that I can get up here and peddle and sell to the public. For if I go to selling it, that automatically makes it unholy. Did you know that? But I've said this a number of times, and I still believe it, that if Moses was standing on holy ground, if God can make ground holy, He can make oil holy. Is that right? If He can make this old body of mine that's made out of the dust holy, He can make oil holy. Because I'm part oil, part water, and a few other things too. Isn't that right? If He can take these few little minerals or these few little elements that my body's composed out of, that's taken from the earth and make them holy, He can make this holy too. The Bible speaks of the saints of God, and it speaks of men like John, and said that they were holy men. Men said, God, His holy apostles and prophets, and the holy women of old. Holy women. It'd be hard to find holiness today among the women, wouldn't it? But when you got holiness, that means you are a holy woman. Because that's where the word holiness comes from. God is His holiness. They call the Pope of Rome His holiness. With no rudeness whatsoever toward any man. That is a mistake. The Pope of Rome is not His holiness. God is His holiness, and the only His holiness. So then, we are His subjects. Be therefore holy, for I am holy. Be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Let's pray over this. And I guess it goes to Sister Cook, does it? Sister Francis. Okay, I guess you know there's just a little of it missing. Okay, I thought it was ours. All right. Let's just pray together, will you? Will you stretch your hands out in this direction? By that, let me know that you're regarding what I say and that you're standing with me. Precious, wonderful, holy Father, as we stand before Thee and Thy people. Dear God of heaven, in the lovely name of Your Son, Jesus, I ask You to stretch out Your hand tonight. Father, to heal this audience. Father, those that are sick, I ask You to heal them tonight. Father, heal tonight. I know that it's not by power or by might, but it's by Your Spirit, Jesus. And I ask You, as I feel the quickening, the same quickening that raised up Jesus from the dead, Father, heal tonight and make well. Let the oppressed go free. I feel the warm flow of the mighty Holy Ghost, the mighty Holy Spirit, right now coming down over the audience. Lord, the Bible said, as Peter preached down at Cornelius's, that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, fell upon the people. And I feel it falling upon the people now. In the name of Jesus. Heal and set free. Save in Jesus' name. Lord, anoint us all. Let the Holy Spirit anoint it. That wherever it goes, those that believe in the Word of God, Lord, as the oil comes upon them in the anointing, then heal. Heal in the name of Jesus. Amen.